Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grundislav, and with me as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben304. Hello, Grundislav.
Hello, Ben304. How have you been? We haven't podcasted in a couple of weeks. What have you been up to?
No, I've been traveling around a little bit, you know, seeing some of the world, enjoying myself. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, I've been, you know, doing work on my game.
Are you over your nerd flu?
Oh yeah, yeah. I got. Oh man, yeah. Oh, that was terrible. Yeah, last time we podcasted,
it happens every time.
It really does, but it really hit me hard this year because like the past 2 years I've gotten sick after GDC. The first year I went to GDC, I actually got sick the last day of GDC. I started feeling, you know, sore throat and everything, and I had your typical cold for a few days afterwards. And then last year, like 5 days afterwards, when I was in Australia, was that I got sick. But thanks to the magic of powerful Australian drugs, it...
Oh man, we have stuff that you guys can't get. It's amazing.
It really is. Yeah, thanks to the magical Australian drugs, it helped also. That was also a gradual lead up, though. But this time, man, I thought I had escaped because it was about 5 days after GDC, and I thought, okay, well, this is about how long it took last time, and I don't feel anything. And it was a Wednesday, and I had actually been out that morning, and I came home, and I had lunch. And like from 1 minute to the next, I just felt awful. Like I had a fever and my body had chills and I had a headache and I couldn't even walk. I felt so weak. I couldn't even walk and I just lay in bed and then my fever brain wouldn't let me sleep. So I would wake up like every 10 minutes. It was awful. It was miserable. I felt like I was going to die.
Did you get any amazing like game ideas from Fever Dreams?
No, I'm
a big Fever Dream fan, I gotta say.
No, it was terrible. Unfortunately, I didn't get any. The only game ideas were, oh god, I want to die. Please let this sweet mercy of death take me away from this horrible disease.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
I hope you don't ever get anything like really serious and just give up just because it's too much.
Well, no, it was just the sudden onset of this. But then I went downstairs and I bought some Tylenol and it took my headache away and I was like, oh, okay, that's good. But man, I was out of commission for a good 3 or 4 days. It was bad.
I see.
But I got over it.
No, I think Dave came down with something and Janet came down with really something, even though she didn't go. Although I got nerd flu from you, so it's clearly contagious.
Yeah, it really is. The only person I know who didn't get it was Anatoly. With his obsession,
he's tough.
Well, he also is tough. He also had a little thing of hand sanitizer that he was using at every opportunity. So
okay. Well, you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe it pays off.
Maybe it does. That is his tough Russian constitution.
Yeah, it's probably 98% vodka in his blood or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know? His blood is so saturated with alcohol from the vodka that he doesn't get any diseases.
You can't keep a shashkin down. I think the shashkin means bayonet or something like that. I think Ilyich told me that it means bayonet or something like that.
Probably.
Some weapon or something like that.
Yeah.
He's built for survival. That's all that matters.
He is built for survival.
Anyway, what have you been playing on your virtual game entertainment systems lately? While I've been gone.
While you've been gone. While you've left me alone to play games.
And eat ice cream and cry.
No, I didn't eat any ice cream and I didn't cry.
Dude, are you kidding me? I was on holidays. I ate so much ice cream and it was amazing.
Well, of course, because you were on holiday.
Delicious. Man, my tent was right near the ice cream shop too. Oh my god.
You should have parked your tent next to the ice cream shop.
So I should have done and just like reached my hand out and been like...
Cone, please.
Yeah, give me another golden gay time, please.
Yeah. I played a little bit of Jazz Punk.
Good.
I played the first level of Jazz Punk. I mentioned on the last podcast that I had played it at GDC, but I just breezed through it, and I took my time with it this time, and I really enjoyed it. And And I've been playing a little bit more Assassin's Creed 4. I think I'm close to finishing it. I want to finish it because I want to move on to something else.
You're just playing it to get it over with.
Pretty much.
I was like that with Deathspank. I just wanted to get this finished. Come on, it's been 10 hours. How long is it going to take?
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's fun, and I still like it, and I kind of feel... It makes me want to go back to... It makes me want to go and take a vacation in the Caribbean and just, like, swim. But...
Okay.
Yeah.
I find that the one that always gets me is Sid Meier's Pirates. That always makes me want to go sailing.
Yeah. The sailing mechanic's pretty fun, but I've talked ad nauseum about Assassin's Creed, so we've covered
Assassin's. We don't want people to think it's become like this is the Assassin's Creed podcast.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not the Assassin's Creed podcast.
Good.
Yeah. What about you? You were playing games while you were on holiday
too. I took my laptop so I could work while I was on holidays, and I had some DOS games on there. And I played some Wizardry 7 or Crusaders of the Dark Savant, which is a great game but very tough. Mm. And I also played some Blackthorn. I've been getting into Blackthorn, which is a great game.
Oh yeah, so, I only ever played the demo of that, but yeah, I remember enjoying
Blackthorn's it. Great. You like flashbacks, so you'll probably like it, you know.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, if you like Prince of Persia and flashback and you know, Abe's Odd World games like Exodus and Odyssey, then you'll probably enjoy Blackthorn. The animation is great. It's like flashback. It's like rotoscoped and just really pretty. Yeah. So, yeah, you should check it out as a fan of rotoscoping. Yeah. And as a fan of segues, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do a segue. I was going to ask you about where you went on holiday. You went to Walpole.
I went to Walpole, yeah, and the surrounding area. I went and ventured around and, you know.
We were in Walpole very much at the same time, and we actually recorded a podcast while we were fishing.
A very mini podcast. And we didn't catch anything that night.
No, we didn't. It was terrible.
I caught a ton of fish this time. I caught heaps. Every night after work, I just go down the thing with, you know, assorted people, whoever wanted to go that night. And,
good.
And yeah, it was good.
Because going out and catching fish is a lot better than going out and not catching any fish.
It is. I actually found a jetty where the light was on and you could see the fish in the water, so I could target them individually and get the exact fish I wanted, which was amazing. I caught a big eagle ray. Did I show you the picture?
You did, yes.
Oh, man, it was huge. The fishing line was singing the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to break. I'm not going to pull this thing in. The line's going to break. It didn't break.
Good.
So, yeah. And yeah, I had a nice time being outside and, like, you know, even being in the caravan annex and working on, you know, the games that I'm working on. And just little birdies hanging around and, you know, all the nice stuff. It was good. It was lovely. I was glad to get away and just be somewhere different and, you know, just experience another place for a bit.
Good.
So, yeah.
Man, you know what I realized that you just said that the other games you're working on is that now it's official. It's like out in the open, so we don't have to be discreet about
it. We don't have to be coy.
We don't have to be coy at all. Everybody knows now that I'm working on... Well, everybody already knew since last time that... Yeah.
Dude, everyone's known forever that you've been working on it and who's going to publish it. Yeah. No one's dumb.
No.
Give our listeners intelligence credit.
But now you can talk about how you're working on Technobabylon. So.
I am working on Technobabylon. It's going to be a full-length commercial adventure, which includes the three chapters that were already released and a whole bunch of new stuff. It's long. I just did a playthrough this morning. And, yeah, it's long. It's good. I'm really enjoying it. I was a fan of... This is the best thing about, like, my life at the moment is, like, all the games that I've been working on are, like, games and series that I was a fan of before I started working on them. So I'm like, man, this is amazing.
Good. I'm ashamed to say I never got around to playing any of the Technobabylon games.
But that doesn't matter because you'll be able to play with your old buddy Ben's graphics now.
Yeah. That's what a consolation that is.
Yeah, but I've also been playing Super Motherload. And that's kind of fun. Okay. So if you like SteamWorld Dig and you want something that's pretty much exactly the same with a slightly darker story, yeah.
SteamWorld Dig was the one with that guitar music that I liked, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, good. SteamWorld Dig, this is very similar. It's like a thing where you mine down a lot, but it's a bit quicker to play. It's less slow paced.
Okay.
Which is the exact same thing I just said. And it's got a slightly darker story and a little bit more character, I want to say. I mean, SteamWorld Dig had plenty of character and charm, but this has got a different style, and I'm enjoying it a lot. So
good.
you know, I'm enjoying it a lot, but I will say this, if you played SteamWorld Dig and it did nothing for you, don't bother with Super Motherload. It will do nothing. It's exactly the same.
Oh. So, oh, man, I got an email from GOG this morning. Did you get the email from GOG with their weekly sale thing?
Oh, I haven't looked. Let me have a look. I usually buy something.
They have Alone in the Dark 1, 2, and 3 for $2.39, and I thought, wow. Oh,
I already got the complete box set.
Oh, see, I don't, but I realized I don't really care enough to buy them. Although, there seemed like there were some other pretty decent deals.
Alone in the Dark 1's the best of the Alone in the Dark games.
Yeah. Well, I never played 3, but 2 was...
Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah, I get that impression. But anyway...
But Alone in the Dark 1's the way to go.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I liked it, and I enjoyed it, even though it was... Yeah. I mean, having to throw lanterns at trees, what's that all about? I don't know.
It was the 90s, dude.
I know.
Anyway, we're getting distracted.
We are getting distracted.
As we always do.
Yeah,
well. And we run a very tight ship, so we need to wham, bam, you know.
What happened to, this is our podcast, we can do whatever we want and take as long as we want.
I'm a dynamic personality, I change.
Oh, really?
Yeah, have you not figured this out yet?
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about something game-related. And design related. I've been doing something a lot lately, as have you, I'm sure. And that's,
well, it's my job. I do it all the time.
Well, yeah, it's technically my job too, really. But
yeah,
I've been doing a lot of animating lately. And I know we talked
about. People already know what it is. They know from our segue.
Oh yeah,
which you dodged.
I did.
I've known this for like 10 minutes. They're waiting.
I'm dynamic too. I don't always do the segues. I was trying to be different.
Dynamic lifter.
Dynamic lifter?
Yeah, it's chook poo. Chicken poo.
Oh. I know what a chook is.
Good.
Wait.
Fascinating.
Wait. I also forgot to mention that I played Bruce Quest Secrets of the Outback.
Yeah.
Which is the best game I've ever played in my entire life. Only because it made me feel like I was back in Australia. I loaded it up, and it was great because it's Egghead Cheesy Bird, Eggy, good old Alex Whittington or Whittington or however you pronounce it. I don't know if
that listens. Egghead guy. That's what I call him.
He does the voice of the main character. He does a spot on Australian accent, which is hilarious. And the guy is just like such a total bogan, and he's just.
I gotta say this. I have to clarify this. He does a spot. On bogan accent.
Well, yeah, he doesn't.
It is nothing at all like a standard Australian accent.
Yeah,
it is
perfectly
a bogan accent.
Okay, yeah. Well, he does a great bogan accent. Anyway, so he walks out. You walk over to the thing, and there's like ravens, and it really made me feel like I was back in Australia. It was amazing. It's really well done production-wise. Obviously made by an Australian, and it's great because, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but there's only one puzzle and a variation on that one puzzle throughout the whole game, but it's so appropriate that it's great.
Good,
anyway,
I look forward to trying it out.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. As someone who made
you know my sense of humor.
Yeah, you heard me playing it a little bit, and you seem to enjoy what you heard of it. So, yeah, if you have an affinity for Australiana and silly Western Australian bogan humor, which I realize is a very niche genre, but
it's not necessarily West Australian. There's bogans everywhere.
Yeah, true. But this is the outback, so it's west. It's specific.
There's outback all over Australia, dude.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, fine. Anyway,
sorry, I'm a little bit of an expert in this field. I get pedantic at these things.
I'm just trying to be xenophobic. I know. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, back to the topic, which is animation. And I know we talked about animation in our very first podcast, and I know this
because
I listened to
it. Yeah, but that was 40 podcasts ago.
I know, it was 40 podcasts in about 2 years ago, so it's time to talk more about animation. Last time, we spoke for only like 20 minutes about animation, and we talked about our techniques and kind of just what programs we use, but I think that there's a lot more things we can cover, not necessarily from a tutorial perspective, but just from an overall design and practicality perspective as well. Now, you like animating. You've told me that you first and foremost, more than anything, consider yourself an animator more than a background artist, right?
When did I say that? Because that changes. That changes all the time.
You said that to me about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know.
Did I?
Yeah. Well, at some point. You said to me.
Well,
You looked me right in the eye and you said, "Mate, I'm an animator."
Okay. Well, my break into commercial game work was animation.
Sure.
You know. So I guess, you know, it was weird because when I started, I was terrible at doing backgrounds. So all of my backgrounds, if you play like any Android, you can see the backgrounds. I did them all in one night because I'm like, I don't know how to do backgrounds, you know, but characters I can do because they've got faces and legs and stuff. And I know how to give people details and character, but I wasn't so hot on the backgrounds. The backgrounds is something I've been learning since. But yeah, so my big thing was always characters when I started, and I've had to learn backgrounds as I go. So, yeah. But pixel animation is my thing. I don't do... Well, I do a little bit, but very, very little of the frame-by-frame pencil stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Because I suck at drawing with a pencil. But, well, it's true, you know. I know my limitations. And animation in pixel art, I've probably said this before, but it's a little bit like stop motion animation, whereas instead of redrawing stuff all the time, a lot of the times you'll get a frame and you'll move that frame. You'll do it like that. So the way I do it anyway, you know, you'll have to redraw some of the times, but other times you're just moving a little puppet around.
Sure. Yeah. It all depends on your style and your technique or whatever.
It does.
And it depends on how complicated you want to go.
And that is very true. You can have like something very simple, like a person reaching and pulling something out of their pocket. There's no real need to redo every frame.
Right.
Whereas something quite complex, like, you know, for example, somebody climbing up over a thing, you're going to need to pretty much redraw all every frame.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is natural.
Yeah. So I find sometimes that I like to divide speaking as a person who usually does most of everything on my own games, and you are one of those people as well. I find that it's a lot easier to organize myself especially with a Golden Wake, I've found that it's a lot easier to just do everything by sections. Like, even when I was doing Ben Jordan, I would kind of do a little bit of everything at once, but I find that this time it's easier to just, I got all my backgrounds done. Obviously, I programmed the whole game first, and then I got all the backgrounds done, and now I'm on the final stretch, which is just all the animations.
Sure.
Do you find that it's easier for you to leave everything till one specific part of the project, or?
Well, for me, as you go? I would say for me, like, a big part of it, I used to always just like do things bit by bit, like, you know, I'd build a game bit by bit, like, if I programmed a bit that would do the need an animation, I'd go and do the animation straight away, then throw it in the game, and then it's done. I don't have to think about it. I had a very linear progression. But now, because like I do very little coding these days, I have no need to think about that sort of stuff. So now it makes more sense that I do everything in, you know, sort of waves, so that the person programming the game can have all of the backgrounds first, so they can start putting their hotspots and stuff like that in. Because animations are much easier to placeholder. And then once all the backgrounds are done, I can go and do the animations, you know? So it makes sense, more than I enjoy doing it, it makes sense for me to be doing things in Wave, because that's the most useful for a programmer.
Yeah. Well, it's different in your case, because you're obviously working as the artist on a team project.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, before, when you would make your own stuff.
No, I would mostly do it like, I'd be like, oh, okay, I need to do, you know, a thing where a guy picks up a, you know, an item off the ground. So I'll go and I know that I need it in the game, so I'll go and do the animation, and now I program it in. I do it bit by bit, because it was just easier for me than to have to have this big slog. It's pretty daunting for me if I've got a huge list of animations I have to do. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do all these.
Yeah,
you know, I like to give myself a bit of a break and mix it up.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now, especially with walk cycles.
Yeah, I had to do 8 walk cycles or something like that the other day, and I was like, man, this is a lot of walk cycles. I get bored of this.
Yeah.
You get bored of doing the same thing. So I like to, even if you are doing, like for me, I try to mix it up a bit, but if you're doing, you know, walk cycles, but you've got other stuff, sometimes it's fun to do a couple of walk cycles, you know, or walk cycles for one character. So you'll do, you know, the different directions for one character, and then you go, all right, I'll do some animations of some fun stuff, like someone getting shot or someone, you know, picking things up or something, you know, growing a pair of wings or whatever it is that, you know, you'll always have fun animations that you get to do that you sort of save, but it's nice to put them in as like little treats.
Absolutely, I feel the same way. But one thing that I run into since I rotoscoped is the fact that animations can get very framey. And
I find the same thing. I find that my animations can get super framey if I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, but it's different for you because you kind of you start off not knowing really how many frames you're going to do. You just kind
that's true.
Whereas I always know how many frames my animations are going to be because I I have them already done before, or I have the, you know, the source images from before. But it's sometimes it even happens that I have a certain number of animation or a certain number of frames and I get to, you know, the end and I think, I don't really need that many. I can cut this one. I can cut 2 or 3 frames from the end of this
animation. Yeah, we will be in there.
Yeah, and replace them with another one. Because sometimes you get certain things, especially when you have you can have certain animations where the saving grace is that you can run them backwards. And so, like, if you have someone picking something up, you can just do the bending down and then just play it backwards for the standing back up bit. Or sitting, same with sitting down and standing up on a chair or something.
It's the same with a lot of things. The other day I had to do a ladder climbing animation, and I just did a frame where the person mounts the ladder, and then I did a climb cycle, and then I used the climb cycle does both up and down, and the mount animation also serves as a dismount animation.
Sure, but sometimes you have an animation where if you want to get fancy and you want to show the object getting picked up or something, you're going to have to do separate bits with the animation or the part where the object is in the character's hand. So, sometimes you don't get to recycle frames. But
that's not really hard. You still recycle your old animation, just draw the object in each frame.
It is. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's, yeah. There's certain, I'm trying to think of certain examples. I've run into it where when you come back to the resting position, for example, I've had separate frames for that and then just realized, wait, I can just use the ones from before and not have to do this so much. But generally, depending on the animation, depending on the animation, I generally like to keep I like to set the limit, my own personal limit, at like at maximum 18 to 20 frames. Because any more than that, unless it's like something that really requires it, it's just like it becomes pretty daunting.
I don't limit myself because I can't limit myself. If I think like, oh, I need to do only this many frames for an animation, it's never going to work for me because I can't get, you know, I can't, I guess I could put the keyframes in and then like plan stuff. But no, I definitely will do more than 20 frames of animation for a thing if I have to.
Well, don't get me wrong. I don't start off thinking, oh, well, I need to have an animation of this guy opening a door and it's only going to be 10 frames. It's more like when I'm going through it and I'm kind of deciding how many frames to space it out. I usually space out between 3 and 4 frames. I space 3 and 4 frames in the video between frames I extract to be part of the animation.
That makes sense.
But I try and keep it. I try and get an overall feel of you know how much I can get away with not or looking smooth and not being too smooth. Because if you get too many frames, then you have to speed up the animation so it looks good. I've had to animate a bunch of stuff at 2 speed 2 in AGS because speed 3 makes it just look too slow.
Wow, I animate stuff at 0.
No, I haven't gotten that detailed yet.
I think it depends on the animation that you're doing, because you've got everyday animations that are just like opening a door or picking stuff up. And then you're going to have animations like, you know, a plane smashing into a building and destroying everything. You can't show that in 10 frames.
Oh, no,
but
sure.
You can, but it'll suck.
No, I'm talking about like standard things like picking up and walking and sure. stuff like that. No, I enjoy animations where, you know, you can, like, I just did a bunch of dancing. A bunch of dancers, yeah, and one of them was, I think the longest one was about 16 frames, but it was only because it played backwards. So in total, it's about a 32 frame animation. But
yeah,
it's not every single frame is individually done. If I had to do a 32 frame animation for something, I think I'd go crazy.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm just looking at one I did the other day, and it's 48 frames, and or 49. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
I had to do that many frames to make it look good, you know?
It all depends on what it is, because if it's something like that's fun and you really are excited about how it's going to look in the end, then that's great. But if it's just something boring and tedious, then like a walk cycle, for example, I mean, no, obviously no one's going to do a 48 frame walk cycle unless you're insane. But I don't even know how
just like doing 48 frame walk cycles, I guess.
I don't even know if it would be possible to do a 48 frame walk cycle.
Of course it'd be possible.
That'd be pretty freaking crazy, I can tell you that much. But anyway,
well, it'd be silly.
Yeah, well, it would be silly. But, yeah, I guess if you were doing, like, sub-pixel animation or whatever, you could probably do a 48
yeah, frame walk cycle. Stuff like that, you end up doubling your frames if you're trying to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. But anyway, what was I saying? I don't even remember. Oh!
We're talking about animation.
Yeah, I know we're talking about. Thank you.
Just want to make sure you know.
I know. Okay.
I'm here for you, bud.
Uh-huh. I know. Anyway, yeah, if it's something that's fun, the rewarding bit is always seeing it in game and just being like, you know, okay, that looks good.
Yeah. I played Techno Babylon the other day, and you know, I've been working on this bit a couple of weeks without seeing, so I don't get to see my animations one by one anymore. I used to get to see each animation I did as it went in game, and that's a great feeling, you know. You're like, wow,
yeah, sure.
You know, I did that, it looks cool. Whereas now I'll do like 2 weeks of animation and then finally get to see what it all looks like.
Wow.
And there's just, it's usually like 2 weeks of just like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, you know. And then all of a sudden you get to see it, and it always leaves me in a great mood, or like, or, you know, making notes like, oh, I need to fix this, or I need to fix that.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference when you're like animating and you're not the coder. You pretty much have to wait.
Yeah.
Before you see stuff in game.
Man, I don't know how I would feel about that.
That's just part of life. You get used to anything.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah, but, I mean, I just finished doing an animation right before we did our podcast that was part of a sequence of three different animations, so I had been working on those the past evening and a half, so having them all in the game and all come together looks nice, and I'm happy with it, so...
Yeah. I think, yeah, I don't know, you just, it's just part of the deal. There'll always be, you know... It's cool because I don't have to code anything. I don't have to think about that, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes there'll be stuff that I intend to have, like, a delay of 2 and it gets put in at 3, or 3 and it gets put in at 2 and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to be willing to give notes on, like, you know, this should be done at this character. You know, when they're climbing, they should move 2 pixels per frame. Stuff like that, you know.
Sure. And meanwhile, I have to worry about, like, resetting the X and Y coordinates of things that are not the same sprite size.
Right, a thing I should mention, something I always do, is if you can get away with it, always have your character centered and keep them centered from the start to the end of the animation. It makes a coder's job a lot easier, and if you're the coder, you're helping yourself.
Yeah.
Dave, I know Dave loves it that I do that. Always center your characters if you can. It's just so much easier for everybody.
I try and do it, but there's certain things that...
You rotoscope, so it's harder for you.
Yeah, it's way harder for me. By the way, did I mention, if I can totally name drop, did I mention that I talked to Jane Jensen about rotoscoping briefly at GDC?
You mentioned to me that she calls walk cycles walkies.
No, she calls them walkers.
Walkers, sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
Walkies would be very cute, but no. I told you, I didn't mention it on the podcast. But yeah, it's funny because I told Jane, I was like, oh yeah, I was talking to her about the Gabriel Knight remake, and I was telling her about how I liked how smooth the animation was. And I said to her, you know, you guys back in the day used to do rotoscoping. And she was like, oh, yeah, I forgot what, Michael Hutchinson, I think she said. Yeah, it was the name of the guy. She's like, yeah, he used to have this big coat and he would just put it on and he'd just do all the Gabriel animations against the blue screen. And then they just import those and clean them up and there you go. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I used my iPhone. I put it on a tripod and I filmed myself doing stuff and that's how I animate. And she was like, oh, that's interesting. And she was probably like, what the hell is this?
Sounds exactly like her.
Yeah, I know. It sounds exactly like her. That's my Jane Jensen impersonation.
I thought she was on the podcast. And here we have special guest, Jane Jensen. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I made Gabriel Knight.
Yes, you did. So and nice. And King's Quest 6.
Please
so
play
nice
Mobius.
Of you to join us.
Please play Mobius. It comes out in 4 days.
Yeah, and Grey Matter, because you all missed out on it.
Oh, yes, and Dying for Daylight.
Oh, did she
I have to go now. Goodbye. Oh, she left.
Did she do work on yes, bye Jane. Did she do work on
that was a delayed reaction.
What's it called? Oh, I can't think of it. My Cognition, the Erica Reed thriller.
Yeah, she was the story consultant or something.
I don't even know what that means.
I think it means that they wrote the story and they were like, hey, Jane, could you look at this? And she was like, yes, this is good. Or, no, this is crap.
Make this better, make that worse.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of well, I would hope she didn't say make that worse.
Well, she's a consultant. She can say what she wants.
Yeah, but generally consultants don't tell you how to make things worse. Not consciously.
There's
anyway.
A bold claim.
No, well, I mean...
No, not consciously.
No, I mean, you're not going to say, oh, this is too good, make it less good.
That'd be amazing. I should be a consultant, just say that to everyone. They'd love me.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is too good. I think you've written this too well. I think this will go down in time as a classic.
Please use less proper punctuation.
Yeah.
Please capitalize your words after commas and put periods after sentences that don't have periods. Yes. Anyway.
Good. Anyway.
Yes.
Were we talking about something other than Jane Jensen?
Yeah, we were talking about
rotoscoping.
We were talking about how I had mentioned rotoscoping to her, and I wanted to bring this up because I've talked about rotoscoping before many, many, many times. And like you say, rotoscoping is more complex in the sense that you a lot of times have to draw a lot more things than you would just doing it normally. Although you can get away with copying and pasting certain body parts.
Oh, I imagine you do it fairly regularly.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Especially if there's, you know, the character stays in the same position. You keep the feet in the same position. And plus, you know, because if you redraw it, it's going to look all squiggly, and nobody likes squiggly vision. Unless you're watching, like, Dr. Katz or something.
90s cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what always amused me about Sierra's technique was that they did very little tracing. They just filmed against the blue screen and then they just exported it and put it in. And there's a few animations where obviously they pixeled over it, but there's a lot of animations where you can tell that it's just like video straight in.
Yeah, well, I guess it worked and it was using the technology they had available to them at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... It's a totally acceptable technique. You know, it's...
It is, and I've grown to accept it as a more legitimate... Uh-oh. Maybe it's not so legitimate. The police are coming.
Have you got a fire alarm or something? But yeah...
Sounds like something's backing up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Backing up to our earlier point in the conversation.
Yes. Yes.
Man, yeah, I think
you're like a Segway fire today.
You're
Mr. Segway man today.
I just can't help myself. Mm. I think, like, as long as it looks, it's not so much about things looking good or things looking nice. It's about things looking consistent. You know, a big thing in games is consistency. It's important to keep stuff feeling. You know, what? I don't want to make any bold claims because you know.
That's my job.
Yeah. It is perfectly okay to do whatever you want.
Okay.
There. End of podcast. Now, if you like, Like, for example, here's a really strong example. I used to care a lot about maintaining a consistent pixel resolution. I used to think it was the most important thing because I hung around pixel artists, and that's the rules, you know? You have to do import, you have to do this, you have to do that, you know? I thought it was true. And then Richard Hoffmeyer came along and proved everybody wrong by looking at something that looks absolutely amazing and breaking those rules completely.
Sure.
Good on him. Legend, absolute legend. So look, do what you want, but if you want to get a consistent appeal, make sure you make a consistent vibe to your stuff. Make sure the whole thing is consistent, you know? Like, if your stuff looks like just normal photographs over pixel art, it's going to look inconsistent, you know? But Sierra stuff never really seemed to look that inconsistent to me. You know, obviously they were good enough at cleaning it up that they could get away with it.
No, there was no, there wasn't real inconsistency. There's a few animations that you're like, oh, that looks like, you know, it was video. But there was nothing that was like, oh my god, what were they thinking, you know?
Right. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think rotoscoping, a really good thing about rotoscoping that is a lot harder to get with traditional animation or pixel animation, and I'm really pushing myself into, is to get the rotation of the body and stuff. For that feeling natural, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I have the little artist mannequin, and I turn that around.
Mm.
And, you know, turning that around and looking at it, and that helps me a lot, but still I you know, I'll never get it quite as subtle as someone that's just working over something that's been filmed, because it just happens naturally when you're filmed. The thing, though, that I notice with a lot of rotoscoping is sometimes things pop in and out of position where, you know, the resolution hasn't been too kind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I noticed stuff like cloth going in and out of phase like you wouldn't expect it to. Noticed on one of your dancing animations the other night, there's one point where a lady's dress gets slightly longer.
Yeah, because I drew that dress from imagination.
Yeah, and so you know, so there's going to be like stuff where it stops feeling consistent. Yeah. But it's the same with any technique, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so, you could go the extra mile, and I have done it in a couple of cases where you could, like, if you don't have a lady, which I didn't, I just traced over, you know, my... Well, I mean, I don't mean like that.
I'm teasing you. Again.
Yes, thank you very much. Anyway, if you don't have a lady readily available, which I didn't at the time...
You're not going to make this, you're not going to save this, so just get on with it.
Yeah, anyway, I put on a towel, which served as a skirt, so I could get the cloth movement right. And I didn't do that in this case, because I had already filmed myself doing the dance step, and I didn't want to redo it with a skirt on, so I towel on to a faux skirt on. So I just did it from imagination, and yeah, it's easy to slip. Especially if you've been doing it.
Don't you slip?
Yes.
Sorry. Some Richard Clapton for you there. But yeah, no, it, like I said, rotoscope stuff often looks really smooth.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really nice.
It helps. I mean, if you're going to have like cloth or something, like someone wearing a cape or something like that, it really helps a lot, making it a lot more smooth looking. I've always enjoyed that particular aspect of rotoscoping.
Okay. I like doing cloth as well, though, so you know, I think cloth's just a fun thing to, it's a fun challenge, you know?
Yeah, but getting it to look right in traditional animation is definitely a challenge.
So, have you tried?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Okay. Yeah, well, I enjoy it, you know. Mm. I think the cloth folds and flaps nicely. It adds a lot of dynamic to an animation.
Sure.
So yeah, that's something I enjoy doing.
But speaking of what you were saying about the body rotation, I have one animation where a character gets shot and they sort of are getting, their shoulders are kind of, you know, moving around. And it looks good having been rotoscoped. I don't think I would have been able to get the same effect with traditional doing it myself animation.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that's a good example, I guess. Something else I wanted to talk about was ambition, because we've talked about how being overambitious can be a project killer. And I know when I was doing Ben Jordan, there was a lot of times where I thought, I want to have a lot of animation in my game, and I want to have a lot of, you know, details and stuff like that. But you get to the point sometimes where you realize you've kind of bitten off more than you can chew. And I used to have my mantra, which was, fuck it, it's freeware. So I was like, well, this animation doesn't need to go in there. It's different now working on a commercial game, because it's sort of a higher caliber, I guess, even though you've told me several times that it's not necessarily... my way of thinking is not necessarily correct most of the time, but...
Well, I would say, more to the point, your way of thinking is not universal.
Okay. Well, my way of thinking is basically that if you're going to have a commercial product, you should have a little bit more polish. And a little bit more polish, in my opinion, is slightly more detailed things and a little bit more animation, you know? So, So right now I've made myself a list of animations that I need to do for my game, which I've slowly been getting through. And there's a lot. And there's, I would probably say that this is going to be the most animation-intensive game I've ever made. But I also don't feel like it's too much. Like, there's certain ones... I can't imagine any of the animations not being in the game, you know? Like, sometimes I've made myself lists for other games, and I've thought, okay, well, I can cut this or I can cut that. So I think I've struck a balance. But what do you do in that situation? Like, have you ever thought to yourself, have you ever made yourself a list of animations? I mean, I know you like making lists, so I assume you have.
Yeah, I always have lists of animations. I don't really get to choose because, you know, I animate what I'm told to animate. And, you know, there'll be times when I say, oh man, we should do this, we should add that. You know, we can totally spice this up with some little treats, some little pixely treats. But, you know, there's always going to be stuff that you don't like doing or that's too much for you. I think the main thing is here, your ability to achieve these animations will improve as your ability to animate in general improves, you know. Stuff that say, you know, 2 years ago I've been like, oh no, how the hell am I going to animate this? Now I'm like, okay, I can animate that.
Yeah.
Simply because, you know, I've improved as an animator, you know, and I've still got a ton to learn. And that's cool because, you know, I love the fact that I'm going to be able to improve. But also, like, yeah, just keep in mind that if you're starting out, there's going to be stuff that's really hard for you. And not just that, it's going to take you a long time. And a lot of the time, Shane Stevens said this to me, and this really sort of resonated with me, was... it's not always that something's really difficult to do. It might be not that difficult to do. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. And that's what can hold you up. Because you're like, man, I've spent 6 weeks doing this, you know, stupid thing. What am I doing with my life? Everything sucks.
Yeah.
The president lies to it. You know, all the stuff that goes through your head when you're animating in a normal work day.
I don't normally think about the president lying, but okay.
Well, maybe you should. It's an important issue. No, I'm a troll. But yeah, it's like, but just, yeah, keep in mind that, like, you know, you're not going to be a good animator straight away. I was a terrible animator when I started off. I still do stuff that I look at, I'm like, oh, that's terrible.
Oh, well, yeah, me too. I mean,
terrible!
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 You know, you're going to learn to do stuff. I think a lot of things, you get a set of values when you're doing stuff. You get a set of core values, your ideals, you know?
Where are we going with this?
Animation.
No, I know.
You get a set of stuff, like things that you personally value in animation. Like, for some people I've talked to, every character needs to have an idle animation. You know, for me, a really big thing of me, when I'm doing an animation, if a thing moves in one frame, I want it to move in every frame. Like, you know, if the shirt color moves in one frame, the shirt color then has to move in every frame, or it looks jumpy and stoppy-starty, you know? So there's a thing for me. And other people will be like, oh, you know, I want to have this. So I want to have that. There's core things that you hold personally valuable in animation that other people won't care about so much. So I think it's identifying what you really care about and focusing on that, and that's when animation gets rewarding. And then you can have these really ambitious
practice animations and go, oh, I'm going to do this because I focus on this thing that I care about. You know, it's about, you want to be doing things that you care about, not just like, oh, I've got animation because I'm making a game and everyone knows games have to have animations. So I've got to do this.
Sure. Well, so,
yeah.
Going back, before, obviously, you started doing this as a full-time job, when you were making your freeware games, this is like, we need to when we have discussions about this stuff, we need to just divide it into two time periods. We need to do it like BWEG and AWEG for you.
Yeah, before sellout.
BS.
Before I sold my soul.
Yeah.
To the Dave.
No,
Dave
when you,
Gilbert.
When you were, when
do you know
were...
he called? You know how he's? You know how his thing's Dave L. Gilbert.
Yeah.
I was like, what's that all about? He's like, oh, I wanted to call myself Devil, but he probably listened to this. He's like, oh, I wanted to put Devil, but I wanted to tone it down, so I put Dave on my ass.
What? I didn't know that.
Unless I hallucinated it. That's possible. So I'm an artist. These things happen.
You sold your soul to the Devil?
Yeah.
So did I.
It's rock and roll, man.
I signed a contract with the Devil. Maybe I should have signed it in blood.
It's not too late. You can go back.
You're right. Well, I have a copy on my dresser. I can just prick my finger and...
You have it sitting on your dresser?
Of course I have it sitting on my dresser. Where else am I going to put it?
In a drawer?
Should I frame it and put it on my wall?
No, you put it in a drawer. It's a contract, man.
Yeah, but I want to have it easily accessible. What if there's a fire and I need to grab it before I jump out the window?
Are you worried that, like, if the thing burns, then it would be like, no, the contract's gone. I get your game for free.
Hey, man, business is business. It's a cutthroat world out there.
Dave is like the least likely person to do that. That's
I know. Anyway, he has a copy of the contract too. So
yeah.
Why am I even talking about this? I shouldn't even be talking about this. Anyway, what I was going to ask you was
you're talking about. I don't hold contracts in very high esteem because I did like thousands of them when I worked in a bank.
Yeah, I know.
I signed everyone's soul up from contracts. Don't excite me anymore.
I know. Well, they don't excite me either. They're boring paperwork. Do you know how many contracts I used to have to interpret, site translate
yeah,
when I was an interpreter? I hate legalese.
Oh, listen to our interesting day jobs, everybody.
That's not my day job anymore. Are you kidding me? I quit that nonsense.
Yeah, I quit mine. I quit the bank. Someone asked me. I saw someone. I went to a wedding a couple of weekends ago, and somebody asked me, like, oh, Ben, hey, long time no see. How's the bank going? I was like, wow. It has been a long time.
You clearly haven't been following me on Facebook.
Well, I haven't put anything on Facebook.
Fair enough.
I don't put anything on Facebook. I'm just on there to annoy people. There's some people
just
that
like everything
don't
else.
Go anywhere else on the internet than Facebook, so that's how I contact them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know.
Anyway.
By the way, what's your favorite Bible verse?
My favorite Bible verse is Revelations 13:18.
Yeah, good. Anyway, so I was going to ask you...
Speaking of selling ourselves to the devil.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, before you sold out to the devil... I'm going to totally use that from now on.
I hope I didn't hallucinate that, and that's actually right, because that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Even if you did hallucinate it, I still think it's amazing. Anyway.
just hold it as, like, truth.
Yeah. Next time we have him on the podcast, we can give him, like, a really cool intro, and you can do, like, a heavy metal guitar riff, and we'll be like, it's the devil! I totally just did the devil horns with my both hands, by the way. Anyway.
But I'm holding on to the control. Logitech F310 controller. Thanks, Brian, for the recommendation. It's lovely.
Good. Oh, by the way,
I hope you're doing well, bud. Because
oh yeah, Brian. Speedy recovery. Yeah, speedy recovery and Godspeed to you and amazing. That's like one of the most altruistic things anyone can do. If you don't
He's
know,
a legend.
Yeah. Some people wouldn't give their kidney to save. Something. Well,
someone else.
Brian Wood. Yeah. Brian Wood.
Yeah.
He did.
And so, has.
And has.
So
there you go.
Just a legend, man.
Yeah.
Cool guy.
Absolutely.
And has good taste in games, so there's
yes.
that.
Yes. Anyway. I wanted to say, you were talking about controllers. A brief aside, I wanted to mention that I went to this thing on Tuesday. There's this thing here in New York called Baby Castles. And there's sort of like a game art space thing. I don't really know what they are. I know that they have like music events every now and then. They sort of mix games with music and art and things like that. Anyway, they were opening up a new space in Manhattan, and they were having this sort of thing, this gala sort of thing, I guess you could call it. And I went, and it wasn't that great because they had this this artist called Rat King who was going to be performing, and there was a bunch
Rat
of like
King?
Yeah, R-A-T-T King.
Is that like the King of Rats?
Yeah, it's like the character from the Ninja Turtles, I think. But yeah.
No. What, keep like, talking. Keep
like
talking.
From the Nutcracker.
No. The Rat King was like a bunch of rats all tied together.
Oh, okay.
And well, amazing that... supernatural power.
Okay. Well, this wasn't here, that.
Look,
but
yeah,
anyway,
look, I've got a Wikipedia article for you that you can look at.
Okay.
But a Rat King was basically like all these rats with their tails tied together.
Oh, okay.
And apparently they became super powerful. It's a bad omen or something like that.
Ah, yeah, look at that. Oh, that's creepy.
Well, it's rats, of course it is creepy.
Yeah, but it's like a naturally occurring phenomenon.
Yeah.
Where their tails get tied together with a bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Man, I should have put that in a Ben Jordan game.
Ben Jordan, case 3.5.
Stinky rats.
The Rat King attacks.
He goes to the subway Squeak. In New York.
Anyway, sorry for that brief aside, but I was just wondering if there's a reference to that or not.
Probably. We're having like a side inception. Anyway, the point is there was a bunch of high school kids there that were only there for the performer and not so much for the games. But the funny thing was that they had arcade cabinets set up with the games in them. And one of the arcade cabinets was set up with the Shiva, kosher edition. And the way
is that
was,
the one I worked on?
That is the one you worked on, yes.
Wow, I'm famous. Wow.
Yeah, you are. And I took a picture of the in the arcade cabinet and sent it to Dave. But the way that you could control it was with a Logitech gamepad, and the buttons were all mapped to interact, and you had to move the mouse with the D-pad, and then just all four buttons were interact, so you couldn't look at anything. So
basically they've just used Joy to Key.
Pretty much, yeah. And they didn't let you type, so you really couldn't get past the very first couple of screens because you couldn't type in the thing. But anyway.
I haven't actually played the kosher edition of the Shiva. Is it any good?
I haven't played it either, actually.
Okay.
I played the demo.
I haven't played anything I've worked on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the demo of Blackwell Epiphany is out. Go and play that.
Yeah.
RosaBlackwell.com/demo.
No, don't play it. Wait for the full game. Well, play it if you really want to get excited. But if you want to go in without any spoilers or anything, wait for the full game. It's totally worth it.
Because it ends on a cliffhanger.
It ends on the biggest cliffhanger.
And it's like it's gonna be out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's the release party is gonna be soon. The live stream. Are you gonna be part of that hangout thing?
I don't know. Okay. Probably. What am I gonna say? Oh, I draw pictures. Whoa!
Well, because it says in the thing that like the exclusive e-invite includes like a hangout with the game developers, and well, you're one of the game developers.
What am I gonna say?
I don't know. You just said what you're gonna say.
I like koala bears.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like koalas.
Well, I'll be there. We can do a live podcast. No, we won't do a live podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Cup Tools episode 42, The Meaning of Life and Everything in the Universe.
Yeah.
I mix that up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
But anyway,
guys, Galaxy fans.
Rewinding even further back, I was going to ask you originally, like 20 minutes ago, when you were making freeware games... Back in the Dark Ages, when you were making your own freeware games and you had your own control over what you were doing and how much you were doing, did you ever get to a point where you were like, oh, I think I might have too many animations. I might need to cut back if I ever want to release this.
Are you kidding me? Have you looked at my unfinished project folder?
No.
It's enormous. I got a million games that I never released. Are you kidding me?
What about your finished project?
Worse. Oh, I probably cut animations from it. I know, yeah, definitely. There was definitely stuff. Like, if you play stuff like Falling Skywards, I was originally going to have like him jumping from one thing to the other, but you'd see it all happen in real time, and I just ran out of time to do that. So, you know. So there was going to be a string, a little bit like how we did Eternally Us. I wanted to do like screen transitions were like seamless. Okay. I wanted the same in Falling Skywards, but I ran out of time badly because that was that. And then.
Well, you were working on a deadline on that one. And
yeah, I was. And I had all sorts of. I had a lot of shit to deal with at that time, so I kind of ran out of ability to work on it.
But like, even. I'm talking about like other ones, like, you know, exclamation mark and Annie Android and Heat and Awakening.
No, most of those games I put in as much animation as I intended to, which wasn't much because I'm lazy. Some of them I made more. I remember when I made Shit, I Got Abducted. I was like, I had just played, do you remember Helm's game, Caverns/Vaginas?
Of course, that's a fantastic game.
Yeah, a great game. And I just played that, and the dude only has a side walk cycle. He's got no front and back walk cycle. And I was like, I hate walk cycles, so I'm just going to do it. I'm like, if it's good enough for Helm, Helm's amazing. I'll just, it's good enough for me. And I did it, and then Progsmax played it and was like, hey, that was great, except he totally needs up-down walk cycles. I'm like, I only did it because I'm lazy. He's like, yes, I know. I'm like, so I ended up like, Progsmax made me do it. Well, he didn't make me do it, but he made me realize that it was a glaring thing that was missing, and I was like, so I went in and...
Let me tell you, as someone who's been doing a lot of walk cycles lately and animating walk cycles, you have no idea how frustrating it is to work on a 10-frame forward or back walk cycle, and then you put it in the game, and it's only in the game for, like, half a second. It doesn't even loop. That is...
I like that you're telling me that I have no idea when it's something that I have very much... Well, I don't get frustrated by it. Well, I just accept it.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the listeners in general.
The listeners that have never done animations at all?
Well, the listeners who might not have experienced this before.
Okay, let's not make bold assumptions about our lovely listeners.
No, I'm not making any bold assumptions about our lovely listeners.
And now I'm just picking on you. Stop taking it all so seriously.
I don't even care anymore. You know...
Have I won?
No, there was no cup. There was nothing to win.
There's always a competition.
Oh, don't make me get out the secret weapon.
Oh,
the can of whoop ass.
Oh yeah. Whoa. Hear that? Does it sound of me trembling?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you better be. You better be trembling.
Tiny man's gonna come and get me.
Oh, you have no idea, buddy. You have no idea.
I like that word buddy now. Buddy. Yeah, just... A buddy cop film of the 80s.
I'm going to bite your ankles.
Yeah? Wow, you're going to stand on your tippy toes to do that?
Oh, it's going to hurt. Look, just because you're the Colossus from Shadow of the Colossus, and I have to climb your stinky hairy back to get to your head, it doesn't mean that.
I'm going to start growing my back hairs. How do I make back hairs grow? Because I might be Greek, but I'm missing in that department.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There must be something you can do.
I've heard that... Well, no. Never mind. Maybe you should...
Come on, I'm ready for your advice.
Maybe you should take, like, testosterone pills or something.
Okay.
That might help. I've heard that helps hair growth, but on the face.
Oh. Well, I don't want my face hair to grow. I want that to all go away.
Then laser your face and... Or what you could do is grow a beard and then shave it off and then paste it to your back.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go. God, good God.
That sounds like a perfectly rational thing to do.
Do you want to be that guy? Oh, man. I remember there was this one guy when I used to work at Starbucks. And he used to come in and he would always wear a tank top because he'd, like, come in from jogging or whatever. And his... Sure. That he had all this hair on his... Oh, fuck, I just dropped my tablet.
You always drop your tablet.
I know, I do always. I probably shouldn't keep it so close to the edge of my desk. Anyway, this guy used to come in with a tank top on after his jogging, and the hair on his shoulders was, like, massive. And it used to stick out... It looked like he had, like, wings of hair coming out of his...
Yeah, I was standing in line at the supermarket one day, and there was this guy who was wearing... a tank top, and he had like shoulder beards.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would call it, shoulder beards. Man, There's something.
And not only that, he was sweating like a lot. Like, really sweating. And I said to him, because I looked at the items that he was buying, and he was buying drinks, but not just like a few drinks. He wasn't just like going for a quick beverage in the store. Oh. He was buying a lot of drinks. He was like, he was going to be inundated. Inundated with fluids. Like, he was like the king of liquids. And I said to him, hey there, are you thirsty?
Oh,
because man. I like making conversation. And he said, yes, I am. And what I didn't say was, oh my god, those are the hairiest shoulders I've ever seen in my entire life.
Good.
Because I'm at least pretend to be polite.
Well, I mean, it probably wouldn't have fazed him too much, because if he was comfortable enough with himself to be wearing a tank top with the hairiest shoulders in the world, I wouldn't think that someone saying that to him would faze him too much.
Okay. But next time I see him, I mean, yeah. It was 2006. Next time I see him, I'll point it out.
Okay. Maybe he'll have shaved them by then. But, you know...
I hope not, for the sake of diversity.
Remember the secret of Monkey Island?
No. The game?
Yeah, no, the play, the stage production. No,
I thought you meant the actual secret. I'm like, I don't actually remember being told what the secret was.
No, I mean the game, the secret of Monkey Island, yes.
Yeah, I've done... Yes, I remember the secret of Monkey Island.
Good. Remember that little animation of Ghost Pirate LeChuck's beard, how it would, like...
Yes, flap in the wind.
I love that. I love that it animation. Can you imagine wiggling, like, the guy's shoulder hair wiggling? Animating that?
You know, that reminds me of Cedric and the Revolution with the puzzle where the guy's hair is flapping in the wind and you have to get a thing from the blacksmith thing and blow it off his head.
Yeah, yeah. I like animations like that, like little subtle animations that give you hints, like to point your eye in the right direction. Like if it's a little glint or if it's like a little paper flapping in the wind or something like that.
I know for some games I've had like a bit of paper that blends in quite a lot with the background. And so you can make it just flutter in a breeze just lightly and that'll... Well, I mean, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes,
so
I do.
That'll draw someone's attention to it by making it more animated.
I know firsthand because there's one like that in the game that you and I are going to be working on.
I was trying not to spoil a puzzle, but that's fine.
That's not even a puzzle. Besides, by the time it comes out, people will have forgotten that they listened to this podcast. So.
People have stopped listening to this podcast. We'll have no listeners.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Well,
I'm glad you spoiled it.
Man, you're such a pouty.
I am.
You're just like sitting in the corner on your stool with your arms crossed going, meh.
But I'm in my pajamas. I'm allowed to be moody. I'm in my pajamas. That's the rule.
Is it?
One of the rules of the world is if you're sitting in your out in your pajamas.
Who made up that rule? That.
Me, because I'm the king.
No, you're not the king. You're the king of rats is what you are.
My tail!
Better watch out for Monty. He'll get you.
Oh, man. He'll get me. That'll hurt. He's got sharp teeth.
Yeah.
On account of he's a goddamn cat.
Well, so are you. So, takes one to know one.
Oh, look who I'm podcasting with.
Yeah.
With
a human! Anyway, enough in-jokes. Do we have anything else related to animation to talk about?
Yes!
Anything useful? Anything that people listening to this podcast would like? Some takeaway for some people who are listening to this?
Yeah, set yourself up with a bunch of shortcuts so you can make your job a lot easier.
Shortcuts?
Like, yeah, for example, if you're using graphic scale, I've got shortcuts that, you know, stuff like... I know I can have my hand on the numpad. I've set my hotkeys up so that I can move between frames with a single key press so I can go back and forward and, you know, compare each frame. And that really helps, you know, get an idea of what's going on in sort of inter-frame, you know, and see how things work together. I got a frame, like common stuff like make a new frame. I got a button that I can do that. So my hand never needs to move, so I can quickly do this stuff. A frame for deleting a frame if it's not working out, I got to start again. So yeah, set yourself up with hotkeys. Don't be afraid. You really find your workflow moves a lot quicker.
I should probably learn how to use graphic scale someday.
It's a handy tool. Mm. I've tried to show you, but you know, some people's their ways.
It's just that sometimes when you're in the middle of a project and you have to take the time to learn a new tool, it feels like it's going to be counterproductive.
How? Well, by making it more efficient halfway through a project, it'd be better off to get more efficient after the project's done.
Well, when I'm starting on a new project and I can go in swinging with the new stuff and I don't have to take time out of my project time to learn something new.
I will say this, there's never a better time to learn a faster, better way of doing something than now. So there.
All right.
It's a great program. Yeah, it's a great program.
Okay. Good. Yeah, it is. I mean, I like the fact that it has the color replacer. That thing is such a time saver.
Sure. The program's full of time savers.
Yeah.
It's specifically designed for pixel animation, which happens to be what you and I do, low-res animation.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I don't know how it would work for rotoscoping, though. I'd have to...
Why? You've got layers.
No, I know, but I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know how easy it is compared to Photoshop.
Well, what's holding you back? I've shown you how to import from multiple frames so that you can get multiple PNG files, and they all come out as a single as a single .gal file that you can cycle between the frames.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's that.
All right. Yeah, there is that. You're right. All right. Well, maybe I'll turn over a new leaf, and maybe I'll start using GraphicScale exclusively for my animations.
Now that I've publicly shamed you.
You haven't publicly shamed me.
Yes, I have.
No, you haven't.
Are you blushing?
I'm not blushing. It's not like you came up and pantsed me or anything.
Oh, yeah? Woohoo!
No, that's not publicly shaming me either. Take a look, baby.
Yeah.
You Dangle. Like what you see? Wiggle, wiggle.
Well, this podcast has changed.
No, it hasn't. It's exactly the same as it's always
that's
been.
That's true.
Yeah. There's an animation for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, what...
I don't know. I don't know what else I can say, but yeah, set yourself up with shortcuts, hotkeys.
Yeah, sure.
I use hotkeys all the time. Like, I know muscle memory. If you watch my hand when I switch between Photoshop and GraphicScale, my hand will go to a different part of the keyboard because I know exactly where all my hotkeys are all the time.
Nice.
You shouldn't have to go, oh, I need to make a new frame. Let me find the button for that, or let me move my mouse to the button for that. You should go, I need to make a new frame. One press, done. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. So I guess the takeaway from this podcast should be don't feel like you should be intimidated by too many animations. If you want to get a little outside the box and you want to be a little ambitious with your animations, go for it. But know your limits. Don't let too many animations be a project killer or a motivation killer. And good advice that you gave, Ben, is if you're feeling not motivated and you have some animations done, just look in your game and look at your animations and see how they look. And if they look nice, then let that be a little motivator for you and think, oh, this is looking good. I can do more. I can do this.
Be proud of yourself.
Yeah, be proud of your animations, especially if they look good. If they look bad, don't be proud. But if they
well, even... I would
Take
say
that
it's
as
not
a...
about not being proud. It's about recognizing the potential for improvement.
Exactly, yeah. Just take it and improve. And cause
or else.
One of the important things that everyone always tells you in like filmmaking and stuff is show, don't tell. And it's the same with game making. I mean, you can have a text box that says, you pick up the thing. But it's still much more interesting if you actually see them picking up the things, you know? Or
sure.
Pressing the button, or
sometimes
Charleston, or whatever.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's more
sometimes
immersive.
Words convey what, especially at low resolution, what images cannot.
Well, that's true, actually, because I had a thing where I had the word surreptitiously in the description, and I was really proud of it, and I had to get rid of it because it was replaced with an animation. But I was able to put it in later in the game, so... It's all right.
It's all good. So you got to keep.
I got to
big
keep
fancy
my
fancy word.
Yeah, I got to keep my pretentious SAT word in there. So
good.
Yeah. So yes. Yeah, so that's basically this. This has been our treatise on animation. If there's anything we didn't talk about,
and also don't forget to sum up the fact that I said learn your hotkeys, make your hotkeys, set yourself up with an organized workflow that works quick for you, so you can do stuff quickly. So that you know, stuff like everyday tasks don't become a hindrance; they become an easy part of your life.
Sure, because if it takes you an entire day to do like an 8-frame animation, that's, you need to pick up the pace a little bit.
Maybe.
It takes me a good like hour and a half to do like a 10-frame walk cycle, and I still feel that that's way too long. So
I spent 14 hours on a walk cycle once.
Wow.
It was high res.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, if there's any more questions,
it was a good walk cycle. It was really smooth, but yeah.
Well, so, I hope so. If you're doing
high res animation, take everything we say with a grain of salt, because you're one of the special ones.
Yeah, our hat's off to you. We salute you.
Man, my hat is never coming off, no matter what they've done.
You're not wearing a hat now, though.
I was wearing my panda hat this morning, so.
Oh, okay. Well.
But this morning, I mean, like 4 a.m. But you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
if you have any questions that we didn't cover about animation or anything else you want to hear us talk about, you can...
We love you.
Yeah, sure.
Tell us.
You can tell us on Twitter. You can go to @BCT_podcast. That's us.
Hey, that's us.
Yeah. We got a lot of followers. So if you tell us stuff, we'll talk about it. If you want to follow us individually, I am @GrunislavGames on Twitter.
And I'm @Ben_304. I'm important. Follow me.
Yes, and you can see all of our amusing and important tweets.
Amazing selfies.
You haven't taken selfies in a while. Neither have I. What happened to our dress-up thing?
Are you kidding me? I've been taking selfies still.
Nah, not as frequently though.
Well, not every minute like I used to.
That's probably.
I'm on a selfie diet.
Oh, really?
A diet of selfies. I'm only taking like, I'm restricting myself.
I see.
Because I know my hair is amazing, but I don't want to overwhelm people with it.
That's one word for it.
Hush. You're just jealous of my lustrous sheen.
I'm not jealous of your lustrous sheen. I've heard some stuff in my time.
Yeah, and some of it's correct, and that happens to be one of them.
Nope, sorry. I got rid of my lustrous sheen.
Yeah, you've cut all your hair off again. I saw yesterday when you showed me your face when you
listened to
a song,
which you'll hear very shortly.
I think we should share with the audience. Goodbye.
Yes, listen to our podcast. Goodbye.
Listen to what they are.
Because I say that because after they hear this song, they might not want to listen to our podcast anymore. So I apologize. Please listen to our podcast. Goodbye.
Video, and we soul. All right, everyone, I want you to stand up right now. Take out your phones. Take a selfie with your neighbor. It's time to get social. Hey now, y'all. Can we just get real? Do we really care about our fans, or is this just another deal? Said another way, that we lost our way? Social's about the people, remember? We are people. Do we really need another like, fan, or share? Do we need another post to show up everywhere? I hope as we scatter that we never forget that our posts live forever, even when we go to bed.
So connect with me, let's have some fun, let's show the world how this gets done.
Let's get social.
Let's get social.
Let's get social.
Social media.